2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Big T, Thurl Bailey is going to join us coming up here in a moment. Hans and Scotty, just past 1 o'clock here on the Zone Sports Network. You know, trying to do this like soda thing and, you know, watch what you eat, man.
Yeah.
I just kill a burger right now. It's the big old... I'm already in a bad mood. Lloyd's playing weird country music.
Like what?
I had a rough weekend. Just like, I just...
You know, I know we don't like
do you,
it.
Are you an emotional eater? Because, like, I'm...
Oh, yeah.
Because I'd like, you know...
sure.
Because things aren't going away. I'm like, give me a burger.
Yeah.
Turf root.
So, I know we don't like to endorse things that don't pay, but where would you go?
Oh. Oh, that's...
Like, if you could just...
I don't know. Like, now I think it's kind of, like, in fashion to hate on this place, but I'm telling you, like, you just give me a double-double animal style, and I'm a happy man right there.
Well, it's in fashion for some. It's not in fashion for me.
To hate on it?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the local ones haven't been that good.
Well,
but I'll tell you what, I had it a couple weeks ago.
Like, honestly, like, there's nothing, like, you go on that In-N-Out off of Tropicana there in Vegas, because that's where I was always used to. That was the place where you'd go to get one. Yeah, I guess there was one in St. George, but, you know. But before, like, if you wanted In-N-Out, you were in Vegas, and it's just like, okay, everything's right in the world.
Feels now, like they pound out their patties a little bit thin.
Yeah. Now, their fries, yeah, I'll admit, the fries aren't good. Fries need to be better.
I like the fries.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I do.
I think you're the only person I've ever talked to that likes the In-N-Out fries.
Inside 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a pretty quick shelf life.
Yep. You got five
That's
minutes.
Why I always get the animal style on top of the fries.
Yeah, that's good. Melted cheese,
you
grilled
your,
onion.
But, yeah.
A little bit of their magic sauce.
But, yeah, no, just double-double animal style, no tomatoes, no lettuce. There you go.
You need two of those.
Two double-double?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done two double-doubles
before. Oh, if you go double-doubles without fries and no lettuce, no tomato, you're going to need two to get you where you need to be, to get you to that place, you know.
The happy place.
Hey, I'm not hate that, man. That's a fantastic burger.
Yeah. No, you know,
so you wouldn't do like a classic restaurant burger, like a sit down Chili's burger or
no, because I like I kind of like those, and I know there's a place called this, but like I like a thin patty. Like, I would rather have multiple, I know this sounds really weird, I'd rather have multiple thin patties than a big old thick burger. Does that make sense?
Yeah. The patty's really important to me. The bun is actually more important because it
yes.
can add or take away from the patty.
100%.
So if you've got bad buns out there, figure it out.
Yep.
Your bun's got to be better.
Stop it. All right. So Thurl Bailey is like the picture of good health. I don't assume Thurl is just cranking out
an
eating burgers.
Eater.
Yeah. Did he really? All right, Thurl Bailey, kind enough to join us right now. Big T, like, you seem like a guy that is like the most responsible eater on the planet. But do you get a, you know, you get sideways with a burger every now and then?
I'm in the drive-thru at Sonic right now, brother.
Yeah!
Hey,
that's why we
my
love
buns,
you.
My buns are just fine.
This is the best, man. This is why we love you, Big T, because you're real. You're not,
right.
You know, and so, you know, I know you're still young, but that metabolism holds like it does, or do you just work out like a beast?
No, I work out. Listen, I've got a bunch of kids that I work out every day. I don't play anymore, you know, because everybody wants to go home with a story against Big T. I don't even get on the court anymore. But I have kids that I train up in Lehigh, and I try to get in the gym you know, three or four times a week. Listen, I'm married young, bro, so I gotta stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my wife doesn't want anybody walking around with, you know, butt crack and a gut. So I gotta do my thing.
Hey, I love it.
Sorry.
Hey, no, it's speaking truth right there.
Such a dose of reality.
Well,
hey, you were talking about this training in Lehigh. I know that you're going to be running some camps. Does that have to do with these camps that you've got going?
Yeah, I've got a series of camps coming up. The first one's coming up here. June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's an all-girls camp. It's a three-day all-girls camp at Karl Malone Center in Lehigh, and we've got two-time Olympian and two-time WNBA All-Star Ruthie Bolton coming for the girls. So they can go to BigTBailey.com for that. And the next one's around Father's Day, 14th, 15th, and 16th of June. Me and my son Brendan are putting on a father and kids camp, and Jimmer Fredette's coming to help us out.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's going to be fun. And then the last one is in July, late July. It is a shooting camp. Colin, you guys, there's a guy who is probably the foremost shooting coach that trains a lot of pro players. He and I are teaming up in July to do a three-day all shooting, but shooting.
Oh, Colin Terry. Yeah, absolutely.
Colin Terry, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a good get for you guys. That's a hell of a camp right there.
And this is at this is just there at the Karl Malone Training Center, huh, in Lehigh?
Karl Malone Center in Lehigh, yep. And be busy all summer.
Yeah, that's
go to BigTBaileyBasketball.com. I think that's the best place to go to register, isn't it?
That it is. Yeah, best place to go to register, BigTBaileyBasketball.com. There's a phone number on there with any questions. But, yeah, you guys need to come. You know, you want to come over and let me see your jump shot. I might be able to help you out.
Oh, man.
You know, there's
– I'll come hit some Sonic Burger with you.
Well, yeah, we'll hit Sonic with you all day. You know, what's that old adage? Like that shot, once you get past – you know, the coaches say you get past a certain age – and there's nothing to fix that shot. I don't know if it's like 16, 17 or something like that.
Well, if you got it, you never lose it unless you never had it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Okay.
Hey, all right. So about, 10 days ago, Phoenix is up 2-0 against Dallas, and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, this Maverick team that just worked over the Jazz, these guys are done. Phoenix is going to win this thing in 4 and 5, and they're going to move on, and they might win the whole thing. And a week and a half later, Phoenix is done. DeAndre Ayton's in all kinds of a weird spot with the team, and the Mavericks are puffing out their chest going to the Western Conference Finals. What happened here?
It's crazy, isn't it, man?
Yeah.
You know, that's just the sport. Because I had Phoenix rolling. I thought that this was going to be their best game, and the bottom just fell out. And you got to give, you know, Dallas credit for that. They figured something out defensively, or whether Phoenix just peaked. But really, it's anybody's championship, man. It's you know, it's interesting to see, and you know, I don't feel too bad now about the Jazz bowing out, because Dallas is just finding some crazy momentum with what they've got, and they figured it out.
Big T, there's something special about Luka Doncic, and I know you got an up close and personal look at him in the postseason against the Jazz. Give me two or three attributes that are unique to Luka that make him one of the top three, maybe top five players in the NBA right now.
Well, I would say, you know, I've called him this before, and I've heard it before as well. I call the guy basketball savant because he has total control over the game. He has total control when he has the ball, and he knows what he wants to do, and if it isn't available, he figures it out. So you know, he's such an amazing player, and that has to stem from, you know, his ability and his upbringing with his size as well. He's not that fleet of foot, but he's so smart with his size and what he's able to do with it that he's been able to figure out what kind of player he wants to be, and at an early age. And so when you look at any of these other arenas or you know, whether it's business or music, there's always those players that come along that are just special. And he is one of those guys. I think his biggest attribute is the fact that he will not be sped up, right? And he can get his shot off any time he wants. Rarely is his shot ever blocked. And he possesses the skills, you know, of a point guard that, you know, he's able to make his team better as well and know when he has to get his. So, and you know, he's got some swagger to him, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those players that has earned it, and like it or not, he's a future Hall of Famer.
Well, and I think sometimes that might frustrate some people watching him play, but he seems like a kind of guy that you hate him when you're playing against him, but boy, do you love him when he's on your team.
Yeah, no question about it. And you've got to give him, you know, all the credit that's due. I mean, he's taken that Dallas Mavericks organization after the Dirk Nowitzki era into a new era. It was interesting watching that video of him and Dirk Nowitzki giving each other some love. You know, I think he's even going to make a bigger mark for the organization if he's able to stay there as long as Dirk did.
So how does this Dallas Golden State Warriors series go?
Hey, that's a good one, isn't it? I think it depends. It's interesting, but I think it depends on Clay. You know, I think Clay is almost back to the Clay. Maybe he'll never get exactly be that Clay, but he's starting to feel it now. And I could be wrong. It could be up to Draymond because he's either very bad or he's making his team better. So I know everybody's saying, well, isn't it up to Steph? Steph's going to do what Steph does. And so obviously the weight is on his shoulders, and the three-point shot is going to be really important for them. But I can tell you right now that one of their biggest assets this far is Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he has just embraced who he is and has flourished with it. But it's going to be a great series. You know, two different really type of ball teams. I think the similarities come probably when Luka's on the bench and Brunson and Dinwiddie and those guys play faster. But both teams are good defensively, so it's going to be – it could be seven again.
How impressed were you to see Boston go into Milwaukee, get a win in Game 6, and then win it in Game 7? I got to think, once you win Game 6 on the road, you feel really good about yourself coming back for Game 7.
Yeah, I mean, that was really impressive. I actually had Milwaukee winning that series – of course, you know, with the injuries, Giannis Antetokounmpo couldn't do it all by himself. But, Boston is another one of those teams that, you know, you're able to get your guys who a lot of people don't expect to have big games. You get them around their marquee players, and that's what happens. So, again, that's why I think it's anybody's championship. Because, you know, you've got teams that are really starting to gel at the right time, and it's going to be fun to watch.
So, we were just talking about this Dallas Phoenix series that obviously ended in blowout fashion, and everybody wants to criticize Chris Paul because he kind of disappeared in the final four games of that series, or four of the five. And he's now 3-5 in game sevens in his career. He's lost five game sevens. And he had a two-game lead in the last two series that he got bumped out. And people want to be critical of Chris Paul. But in your assessment, I get it. You know, he's not the only guy on the court. But in your assessment, where does Chris Paul sit in the pantheon of all-time great point guards?
Oh, he's up there. There's no question. There's no question, and he's still effective. Obviously, you know, you don't judge Chris Paul on that one game, especially if you've been on the bandwagon for the other for the total season and into that seventh game. But there's no question that he's going to go down as one of the greatest point guards ever. And just the dynamics of that team with Booker. I mean, he's the one that made Booker better. And Booker, you know, he didn't come through as well. I think he had 2 points going into into the second quarter. But, yeah, you've got to give the other team some credit for that happening. But you can't put all that on Chris Paul's shoulders. He's a great point guard. He's got and you know, kind of like fine wine, he finds a way to get it done. He finds a way to be effective. And even though you know where he's going, he's got that one spot there on the right in that mid-range, he's going to get there. But I think I read somewhere where he said we'll be right back here next year. I don't doubt it.
Could you take John Stockton and put him in this day and age in the NBA and have him be successful? And conversely, could you take Chris Paul back into the 80s and have him be as successful as he is now?
Yeah, no question. I didn't have to think about that because – one, because of the position, right? That point guard position and really entitles you to kind of develop and decide. I think the thing that John would have to do that he started to do more towards the end of his career is to be more of a shooter, right? Is to understand and be a scoring point guard instead of being a facilitator first point guard. You can do both and still be really good, and John would have no issues doing that. And Chris Paul, obviously, he's got a throwback game anyway.
Yeah.
Right? No hurry, pick you apart, get where he wants to get, got the search dribble. So, yeah, those kind of point guards can play in any era. I mean, you can go forward if you want. Those guys will still be relevant.
Big T, as we watch things kind of unfold here in the offseason for the Utah Jazz, do you believe that we will see Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, and Quinn Snyder back together in this upcoming season?
Personally, even without knowing anything, and maybe part of it's hope, but yeah, I do believe it. I believe it because, you know, this team, man, I mean, you've got a core of a team here, and let's just talk about those two guys. And people are talking about their relationship. I mean, I really believe that it's so overblown. I mean, these two guys want the same thing, right? They may have had some. I mean, it's like any family. You have some disagreements. You talk it out. You have the same goal. But I think what needs to happen is that group that's built behind those two needs to be, you know, what. And I don't know. I could tell you from my point of view what I think that the Jazz need. Maybe to give a guy like Donovan Mitchell a little bit of ease because he can't go the whole season playing point guard and being a facilitator and the scorer. He's got to have some relief there. But I truly believe that both of them will be back with Quinn.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I read a story, I think it was in The Athletic earlier today, about what, you know, obviously what the Clippers did to the Jazz last year in the playoffs, and this evolution of this five out small ball, and now it's, you know, Dallas is really ratcheted up to another level, not only beating the Jazz but then you know, getting the win in this previous series. Is this the way you feel like the league is heading in this, in that regard?
Well, I think what you're asking is Rudy Gobert relevant in today's game?
Yeah, it's a roundabout way of getting to that question. Yeah,
he is. And I know people don't like, you know, people who look at the game differently. Maybe analytical guys look at the numbers and look at what other teams are doing. I really believe that when you have a guy who is as good defensively as Rudy is, yeah, there are going to be some, you know, some weaknesses or Achilles heels, if you will, because the game is moved out and it's smaller. And it's, but the things that Rudy, you know, I see it, and you can't measure it, and Rudy talked about it, talked about dissuasion, right? Guys who don't even attempt to go in there because he's there. I just think that if you can be a really good defensive team with a guy like that and then find a way to integrate him with what you do on the offensive end, and you have the ability to play small when you need to, I think that team is that much more valuable. So I don't think Rudy is irrelevant to the game. I don't think he ever will be a guy like that, because, one, he's not just big and tall and a great defender. He's found a way off a screen assist or dive into the basket to draw attention. Now, if he wasn't a threat, yeah, I'd say, the Jazz will have to rethink it. But the guy is a total threat on both ends of the court.
Do you feel like Mike Conley still has a lot in the tank?
You know, all I can do is put myself in Mike Conley's shoes at that stage of his career, and I think a lot of it depends on what you're asking of him, what you're asking from him. The guy can still play. There's no question about it. And, you know, he wasn't the only one that didn't have great numbers, or probably the numbers that the expectations had for him. But, yeah, I think Mike Conley's still relevant. You know, similar to how Chris Paul is, Mike Conley has a lot of those capabilities as well. And part of that would depend on what he feels and how he feels about where he is right now in his career.
Thurl Bailey joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So you go with the burger, the shake. You know, what do you hit there at Sonic?
I got the burger, man, but, you know, hot tater tots are always good.
Yeah, can't go wrong with those. You know,
they've got good tots.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with those. And then got a little. I picked up a little slushy for my wife, so I'm going to drop that off right now, and then I'm going to work out.
There you go.
Hey, I saw that you sent out a happy birthday to our guy Craig Bowler Jack.
Yes, sir. That's my man.
Oh, is it Bowler's birthday today?
Yeah.
Wow. Bowler's birthday today, man. And that guy, I love that guy. One, just because he's a good friend for years, but he's been a great mentor to me in this TV analyst stuff. Man, I lean on him, and yeah, I know he's made me better. But they don't come any better.
He's holding up pretty.
Buckle up, Bolt.
He's holding up pretty good for 38 too.
That's... Yeah, he is. As long as that knee doesn't go out, he's good.
Yeah, I know he's got that knee.
Well, go to BigTBaileyBasketball.com. That's BigTBaileyBasketball.com. So many great camps coming up this summer, and you need to check it out. If your kid wants to play, this is the best place to put him in some of these camps coming up, boy or girl, too. A lot of great opportunities. Thurl, you're the best, man. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Big T.
Enjoy that burger.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Hey, thanks, guys. And just say, on the Father's Day, when dads need to go out and spend some time with their sons and daughters on the basketball court, great bonding experience, and so I hope to see everybody there. Thank you, guys.
You got it.
We'll send them over.